Okay, Shavuot Tov, everyone. New week. Just came off Shabbos Nachamu as we head into the relaxing times and the more happy times of Av as we approach the holy day of Tu B'Av this week. Parshas Ekev. So, also this is the first full week of the world of yeshivas. It's called the Bein Hazmanim. Right. It's been a long stretch for the past several months. Again, depending on whatever setup people had, people had definitely some type of setup, structured schedule of learning. And now things as the sun and the world of yeshivas, it's officially now the summer vacation has started. So maybe we might even touch on that inyan today. So Parshas Ekev. So a couple ideas that I wanted to discuss. The first idea appears in Perek Ches Pasuk Tazayin in Sheni. The Pasuk says, Hamachilcha min amidbar shalu yadun avosech laman or nosecha laman nisosecha le'tivicha be'ach b'achari secha. Right, in the second Aliyah, it speaks about the warning against people who, you know, have this taiva, you know, just to prosper. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, so the Torah says, you're referring to the one who gives you the man, meaning Kadosh Baruch Hu in the desert, which really our fathers really didn't they didn't know about, nor did they get. And what's the pshat? It says in order to afflict you, in order to give you nisyonos, in order for you to do good at the end. So supposedly this man, in which we're learning about, was actually a nisayon, was actually a challenge and a test. But it's not so simple, because it's almost like when we speak about, you know, getting parnasa and trying to live and trying to sustain yourself and make money and provide for your family and your friends. Those are what we call financial challenges, and try and make ends meet. But here, how exactly could there be financial challenges if things are sort of lamashal, if it's sort of served to you on a silver platter, brought to you on a golden plate? And that's exactly what the mun was. The mun, they didn't have to work for it, right? They didn't have to buy it. It was a miracle from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it was placed right in front of them. It was literally served to them on a silver platter. So what exactly was the challenge of the mun? And if anything was considered a bracha, where exactly is the difficulty? Where exactly is the koshi? Where's that challenge? The fact that we said that, the fact that the pasuk says laman anoscha, that it should be afflicted, and laman nisosecha, right? It's going to challenge you. It's going to test you. Where is the challenge? And what is the challenge? So a couple pshatim. First, Rashi and Shmos. Rashi and Sefer Shmos, when we first hear about the mun, he discusses that the challenges of the mun were the actual rules of it, meaning there's actually, there were specific rules that everyone had a specific portion a day, and they had to finish that portion each day. And also we know the famous rule on Friday that you have to take double portion, you can't take on, I mean, there wouldn't be anything on Shabbos. So those were the rules. I guess you know, it was considered a bracha that they got it, but there were certain challenges that they had to strictly abide by the rules. The Sforno by us, the Sforno Parshas Ekev, explains that the truth is, again, he says that if they kept all the rules, they wouldn't have had to worry about any parnas. There wouldn't have been any challenges. There wouldn't have been any nisyonos or any inuyim or any type of koshi. So this is all, and it also sort of hints us in terms of this, there's a certain takeaway here. Right, people like to say, right, there's different phrases, like in Hebrew they say lechem yored min hashamayim, the bread falls from the sky. That's exactly sort of what happened with the man. Or sometimes money grows from trees. Right, that's a very dangerous attitude. That's a very, very dangerous mindset, because shefa, you know, in unlimited, without any limits. Without is very, very dangerous. A certain amount of overflow and unlimited abundance without any restrictions is dangerous. And that's sort of what Bnei Yisrael was going through when they had all of this mun. They had that unlimited food, it just fell. They didn't have to work for it. But the challenge was to maintain that proper balance and to not reach one of these a status of hefkeiros. By us also, I think it's very applicable to this specific tekufa, especially for Bnei Yeshivos, especially for people that are studying right now. For almost everyone has something called vacation. these couple weeks, there's no school. Maybe there's no camps for some people. These weeks during Ben Hazmanim after Tisha B'Av until El or until September for some people is a big is a vacation or Ben Hazmanim. There's a lot of free time, a lot of spare time, a lot of unlimited time. People might think we have an abundant, we have a chef, an overflow of time, unlimited time. We can do whatever we want with it. But that's the challenge. The challenge with the man, particularly that they thought that they had an unlimited amount and they could do whatever they want. No, there's specific rules and challenges. So too by Ben Hazmanim. Ben Hazmanim is not a free for all. Vacation is not a free for all. It's a challenge. Ben Hazmanim prevents challenges and opportunities. How to deal with the overflow, how to deal with all the abundance, right? Are you going to, when a person has all this time, is this time that you're trying to maximize, or is this time that you're going to waste, right? The time during Ben Hazmanim, a person has to always remember that in terms of basic things of Yahdus always apply. It's not just, oh, but when you're in school or in yeshiva or at home, you know, there's certain rules of being a Jew, but once you're on vacation, right, we take vacation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no way. Think HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes vacation from us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always watching for us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped for one day from watching over us and protecting us and he took a break from running the world, in 2 minutes this whole thing would collapse. So too by us. True, yes, I will admit, by Ben Hazmanim there's an inyan, right? People, especially this year, people have been working hard. People have been putting in the hours, showing a lot of Mesiris Nefesh. No matter, depending on in all the different circumstances which people were in this unique tekufa. And there's an inyan of relaxing and recharging the batteries. But it shouldn't be in a way of hefkeris, right? A person is supposed to travel. A person can travel. A person can relax, but it needs to be in a way which will recharge the batteries. And also in terms of learning, it's not just all of a sudden Ben Hazmanim you don't learn, right? You just stop learning for until the Zman starts. It's not that when you during Zman you learn, when there's no Zman you don't learn. A person needs to be learning something a day, at least something a day. And you make a birchas satori. You don't want to be a bracha levatala. It's a very, very true. This is Ben Hazmanim, but Rosh Yeshiva speak about it. It's a dangerous time because the fact that there's not so much Torah learning going on that we know Torah Magno Matzla. Chazal tell us that there's a certain amount of protection that the world's Torah brings for us, and the fact that during the Tekufa there isn't so much Torah that's being learned, there isn't that much protection. So it's a very, very dangerous time. A person needs to take caution. What does a person do during Ben Hazmanim? And this also applies in terms of all other things. We tend to be lax in our avodas Hashem when things are looking good and things are relaxing, like similar to a time of Ben Hazmanim, but when we're enjoying, as opposed to when someone's suffering. Only then it's like a person has to be intense. The Maggid of Mezrich explains that he makes an aura. He says that he always sees people davening in shul, saying Tehillim, coming to shul with an Eis Ratzon and pouring their hearts out. When? Only in times of trouble and times of difficulties. That's easy, right? Because when you're struggling, you're trying to call out for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The challenge is during the times of good, when things are relaxed, when things are enjoyable, when there is prosperity. During those times, also, we need to have a certain strength of koach hatfila, a certain strength of the feeling that it's always an ace rutz and always trying to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is really the mess, and this is the yisod, this idea of the first idea in Parshas Ekev, that the truth is sometimes when we have a lot, it's not only bracha. It's also everything we have are challenges in life. Even good, there's such things as good challenges. Meaning when good things happen to us, the challenge is how do we deal with it? We shouldn't be wasting the opportunities. Rather, we should be maximizing, capitalizing on those opportunities. So, odd kind of idea number one. Idea number two appears a little bit. Where do we see this? The pasuk says, "Where does it say this?" Could be I lost the spot, but okay. But anyways, if I end up finding the pasuk, I'll explain. I'll quote it. The pasuk says though, "May reishis shana ve'ad achris hashana," right from the beginning of the year until until the year's end. Here we go. It's actually right before the second paragraph of Kriya Shema, right? We should know part right. Parshas Vayeshlach had the parsha of Yahavta and Rabbi Yahavta Shem Yahavta Kecha, and Parshas Egev actually has Vayom Shemot Shul Mitzvosai, right? V'chule. So right before that, it speaks about the great virtues of the land of Eretz Yisrael, and in Yud Aleph Yud Beis in the sixth Aliyah and Shishi, it speaks about the great virtues of the land, right? The pasuk says, right, Eretz Yisrael Hashem Elokecha Doreish Hashem Tamid Einei Hashem Elokecha Ba Merishis Hashana Vaad Acharis Hashana, right. Your God, Kadosh Baruch Hu, was always upon it from the beginning of the year to year's end. Right? And the Gemara Roshana Daf Ches Amud Aleph derives from these words that it's all decided on that day, on Roshana, at the end of the year, and the rest of the following year is always decided. But if you look closely, you can maybe ask a question. The Lashon, the grammar, doesn't make sense. It says Mereishis Hashana from the beginning of the year, Va'ad Achris Shana. It's until year's end. It doesn't say Achris Hashana, you know, until the end of the year. So why are we lacking a hey? Hey represent hey in Hebrew ha means the. So what exactly is pshat because on a grammar level it doesn't seem correct. So the Sabbat Rebbe Zatzal explains as follows, that generally after Rosh Hashanah people think that you know, people make it's called in English. It's called like people make a New Year resolution. It's called New Year's resolutions, right? People come into Rosh Hashanah, they have Kabbalas, right? They stand before Kadosh Baruch Hu, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Yom Noraim, and they say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, this year is going to be different. I'm coming in. I have a game plan. I'm going to be different. So I'm asking you, Kadosh Baruch Hu, to please judge me favorably. I want to continue to serve you, and I'm going to this year. I'm going to be better. This year I'm going to be different, and that's how the game plan starts. And that's why the pasuk says at the beginning of the year it says Mereishis Hashana, right? At the beginning of the year, we tell Kadosh Baruch Hu, this is going to be the year. This is going to be Hashana, in which we're going to do things different. But what happens? Unfortunately, over time, year in and year out, we slowly fade back into our old habits, in our old ways, and we slowly, you know, we say we're going to do the tshuva, but we sort of fall back into the regular, and we sort of, you know, weaken, we sort of get weak, and what happens at the end of the year? It's just like we look back. And we looked at our New Year's resolutions, and sometimes we didn't really accomplish so much. And that's why it goes back to Vad Achris Shana. It's at the end of the year, it's not the year. This year wasn't the year in which we made all these changes. So that's why at the end it doesn't have a hey, because it's almost like we sort of look back every year, and it's like, it was just another year again. We tried, but it was just too hard for us. This is also something in which I feel we need great chizuk in, right? This year is not finished, right? Some people are already thinking it's what I know this whole tekufa seems like it's been wild. Things have been going quick. Things have been going slow. The world's in chaos, but we're around the corner for Hashanah, and the year's not over. True, it's been as manim. We might think that we're relaxed, but we got a strong El coming up. It doesn't matter where it's going to be, how it's going to be, but an El is an El, and Yom Noram is a Yom Noram. And we need to start preparing. It's only 6 weeks away from the Yom Adin, and from that which you said in Rosh Hashanah, that it's all decided. The whole year is decided on that day, right? So on those 2 days. So it's sort of like retroactively, like we need to self-introspect and look back in terms of all the things that happened this year. All the things that happened this year were decided in Rosh Hashanah. Have we not have a more? When was this? Could be the most absurd year in which I've ever been a part of, in terms of what's going on worldwide across the world. Every single person in the world has been affected by this world pandemic. The plans that have been canceled, institutions and resources that have been shut down completely. There's a certain uncertainty in terms of no one knows what's going to be. hundreds of people dying, thousands of people getting sick from this disease. It's almost like we sort of retroactively go back and we sort of think about, you know, what in the world happened to Rosh Hashanah? What happened the past? What happened on those 2 days in Tavshin Pei on Aleph and Beis Tishrei? What happened on Yom Kippur? Well, what exactly happened? And we should take this as a chizik that it shows that we got to be working harder. We got to be working harder to try to work on ourselves, try to be better, and try to make this a successful Rosh Hashanah. And Bez Hashem, we should be zochet to be able to, you know, say that this is going to be the year in which we make things different. This is not going to be a simple year in which we have Kabbalahs. We're going to start out strong and then we're going to weaken. Rather, what? No, we're going to say, no, this is going to be the year. The world needs our help. The world needs our tefillos. The world needs our tshuva. The world needs our chesed, our Bez Hashem. And this is such an important yisod, which also appears in this parsha. So, ad kan idea number two. Idea number three, with this we'll finish, is actually in the same pasuk, right? We mentioned that was the seif of the pasuk. But again, back in Yud Aleph Yud Beis, the beginning of the pasuk says what? Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Doresh Osa Tamid Einei Hashem Elokecha Ba. Right, so the pasuk says that what a land that Hashem, our God, who seeks out in the eyes of Hashem, right? This is the land, and what's pshat? Says Rashi on the spot in pasuk Yud Beis, Dibur Maschal Asher Hashem Lokecha Doresh Osa VeHalo Kohartzos Hu Doresh. Right, it's not the other places he's not Doresh, he's not focusing on Shenemar Lehamtir Al Eretz. Lo ish, right? The pasuk says in Eov, paraglam rechas pasuk chavav. It says, continues Rashi, Ela kiviyachol, enu daresh ela osa. Kadosh Baruch Hu is only expounding and focusing on us. Va'al yidei osa drisha shedorsha daresh es kol artzos ima. And the rest of the lands end up coming after us. So meaning what's pshat? There's a certain amount of uniqueness and priority that comes to Eretz Yisrael. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah is referring to Eretz Yisrael, that Hakadosh Baruch Hu focuses on Eretz Yisrael first, right? And not only first, but it's also Hakadosh Baruch Hu's main focus. After that, the rest of the world Hakadosh Baruch Hu focuses on, but Eretz Yisrael is a primary, and the rest of the nations and the rest of the world are considered secondary. To deepen this a little bit, the Or Chaim expands on this, and he says that's why when Bnei Yisrael, they're in Golus, or sometimes they're not Roi for Bracha, it's not that just Bnei Yisrael suffers in Eretz Yisrael, it has an effect. The rest of the world is suffering. Right, everyone suffers, and we clearly see that bisman azay. Because you clearly see that, you know, the world right now is in chaos. Right, sometimes Eretz Yisrael is a bit better. Right, when Eretz Yisrael at a certain point a couple months ago was in a very very good place, in terms of security, in terms of health. But the rest of the world was still suffering. But when we started, Eretz Yisrael started suffering. The world also suffered a lot more. Right now we're on a rise. There's different world issues are going on all over, and that's the yisod about the chashivas of Eretz Yisrael and the chashivas of the Jewish people. So that brings us really, you know, again, with these three ideas which we spoke about, there's a primary yisod trying to figure out, like, okay, so we're sort of in this twilight zone, especially during this pandemic, especially during in a non-pandemic at this time of the year, where everyone's holding. It's like, so now what, right? We're sitting here during Benes Manim, so what are we supposed to do, right? We're trying to have a better Rosh Hashanah, so what are we supposed to do? What are the ingredients to ensuring that we're going to have a better year, or that this is going to be the year? And now it's people that aren't Eretz Yisrael right now. So what are we supposed to do? What are those people supposed to do? And these are questions. These are very very tough questions. These are questions which people we need to think about. These are questions that we need to self introspect, especially with all this free time we have during the specific tekufa. We need to think about it. We need to speak about it with our friends, our loved ones, our mentors. And we really have to start working on ourselves. There's a lot of things, a lot of even though a lot of chaos is going on. There's also a lot of developments that are going on in the world, and that's what we need to be prepared for. We need to be prepared for, again, based on the three yisodas we spoke about today. A, any challenge. Challenges could come in all shapes or forms. They could look as like bad challenges or good challenges, but we need to understand, we need to maximize and capitalize on those opportunities. In terms of the future for us, this Rosh Hashanah has got to be different. I know where it seems like it's a mile away. We're still in the summer mode, but it's six weeks around the corner. We're going to be sitting on Yom HaDin before the Kisei HaKavod. Whether you're going to be davening inside or outside, who even knows? But we still got to be in the proper mindset. We got to understand that we have some serious work to do on Rosh Hashanah. And three, again, the Chashivas of Eretz Yisrael for the people that are in the Cheshkas Hagolos abroad outside Eretz Yisrael. It's a very, very dark time. It's a very dark time to be kilu locked out of Eretz Yisrael. And we just have to hope and pray that things will get better and that it'll be easier for Yidden to come back home to Eretz Yisrael. Yashar Koach, everyone, and have a wonderful day.